Dr. Dre, the time is now, my brother.
Radio.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Are you ready? Do it, Rob. Do it, Rob. Yeah.
I'm with it, John.
Here we go. Come on, Rob, pump it. Come on. Walk in. There we go.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now.
Good job, Rob, good job. Well, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You know the deal, the same time today is Tuesday. What's today? Today is October the 9th, and it is Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. We have an incredible packed show tonight. Of course, we're going to talk about a lot of news with baseball. Baseball playoffs are upon us. We're going to talk about NBA. We're going to talk about NFL, fantasy news, college football. A lot of things to talk about. Rob is doing a great job in the studio. I'm on the road, but I'm coming home. Rob, how you doing tonight, sir?
Man, ready to get this party started. You know how we do it. Let's get right into the action, man. We got lots of football talk on tonight. We're going to throw in a little baseball, and in our OT, we're even going to talk a little NBA possibly tonight. We're right in the middle of preseason, so we got a lot to talk about, man. Be safe on that road. What's going on with you, man?
Like I said, man, it's been a great, great evening. And like I said, I apologize to our listeners, but I will be back and, like I said, in the studio in probably about the next couple minutes here. So Rob's going to hold it down. Great job on that. And let's go ahead and jump right into it, sir.
Let's get right into it, man. We're right in the middle of these baseball playoffs. Earlier this evening, the San Francisco Giants held on with a 2-1 victory over the Cincinnati Reds. I still think the Reds are going to win this series. The Reds still leads the series 2-1. Game four will be in Cincinnati, and if necessary, game five will also be in Cincinnati. So Cincinnati's got two more chances to close this series out at home. I still like them to pull it out. As we speak, Oakland is leading Detroit 2-0 at home. Detroit leads this series 2-0. And, you know, Oakland's got a couple more games at home, but I still think Detroit is going to find a way to win one of these remaining games. In the other baseball series, the Yankees and the Orioles are tied at 1. The next three games are in New York, so I like the Yankees to win at least two of those three at home to win that series. St. Louis, Washington Nationals also tied at 1. Going to Washington, and I like the same. I like Washington to win two of those three at home. So I think what's going to happen here, and last week on the show, I predicted a Washington-Texas World Series. And even the experts like myself, you know, we're wrong sometimes. So I'll admit I was wrong. Obviously, Texas is eliminated. So I have to change my prediction a little bit. So I'm going to go with an all-Northeast World Series, the Washington Nationals, New York Yankees. That's my World Series prediction as of right now. And I hate to say it, but I'm going to go with the Nationals here. I think they have the better pitching right now that's going to get them over the hump.
Yeah, I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of the games, too. Strasburg, you know, like you said, they actually held them out. So I guess they're looking pretty smart with that move. So, you know, obviously, you know, they have to get through the Cardinals. And, you know, like I said, sometimes the best team doesn't always win, Rob, as you know. So it just kind of depends on who's kind of hot at the time. And Nationals are kind of doing their thing. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts about your Yankees. And before we do that, real quick, I'm going to call in and just to let everyone know if you want to call into the show and give us your thoughts. Once again, the number to call in, you know, deal. It's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Give us your thoughts. And don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page at 12 Man Sports and also via Twitter at the number 12TH Man Sports as well. So tell us your thoughts real quick about the Yankees. And what you think, how they've been playing for this first couple of games here?
Well, I think it also helps the Yankees still have an ace pitcher in CC Sabathia here. And, you know, he's good in the series to win at least two games for you. So in this particular series, if you can just have a pitcher to win one of the game for you, and then the remaining series, you just need a pitcher to win two games for you. So that's the great thing for the Yankees. They have an ace in CC Sabathia. And if he just comes through for you, I mean, that's two victories right there for you. And you just need a couple other pitchers to step up. And of course, Chin for the Orioles last night, he outpitched Andy Pettit, and Baltimore was able to get a win. But the Yankees still have veterans on their ball club that are able to come up with timely hits. And not of the Texans, the Rangers. The Rangers are eliminated. I like the Yankees here to make it to the World Series. And I'm not quite sure they have enough pitching to beat the Nationals. Nationals are pretty deep when it comes to pitching. And so I'm going to give the edge right now to the Nationals.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, cool. I have arrived, so that's the video. So keep going with this quick thought here, and I'm going to jump in and we'll talk about if you want to wrap on the next subject. We will definitely jump into that, and I'm ready to roll, sir.
Yeah, let's move on to a little NFL talk here. And, of course, congratulations to the Houston Texans on last night, a big road win in the hostile environment going up to New York and pulling out a W. Some bad news a little bit on the Houston Texans end. Brian Cushing is out for the season, torn ACL. It's a big blow to their defense. And I tell you what, that J.J. Watt kid, that guy's a freak of nature, man. We talked about this on our show last week a little bit. He is the best defensive player in the NFL right now, in my opinion. He just wrecks havoc, deflections, sacks, harassing the quarterback, stopping the run. He's doing a hell of a job. But, of course, losing Brian Cushing is going to be a little bit of a blow to that ball club. And one of our topics of discussion is tonight, who is the better team? And obviously, you know, this is probably a topic as a Falcon fan and yourself that you probably going to want to weigh heavily here. Who is the better team right now? There are only two teams in the NFL that's undefeated so far, the Texans or the Falcons.
Wow. You know, and the biggest thing is I like to keep things very real and be very, very objective about both things, too. So, I guess if I would take a step back and look at it, I would say that Houston is definitely the more complete team. And why do I say that? I say that because, obviously, if you look at them, they have a great, great defense, obviously, you know, which Eddie Watt's kind of doing his thing. Even though they lost Brian Cushing for the year, which is a very big blow, they definitely have that going for them. Obviously, they have Arian Foster, who is kind of a man-child. And if you didn't know, he's the third fastest player, Rob, to reach 5,000 yards. That's from scrimmage. That's 40 games, just kind of tying Edgerrin James and also Eric Dickerson, too. So that, they have Andre Johnson. So right now, they're more the complete team. But I will say this, and I will give the Texans the edge. The thing about the Falcons, I think the Falcons have more weapons. And I mean that because obviously they have Roddy White, you got Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones, Michael Turner, and also you have like Jaquizz Rodgers and Trey Douglas and whatnot. Our defense is not as dominant, but we're very opportunistic, and we have great coaching, so that kind of puts us up there too. So like I said, I give the slight edge to the Texans with being the more complete team, the better defense. But I think we're kind of right there as far as that ranking. So would love to hear your thoughts about this, sir. Being a Saints, We'll see.
Well, I mean, I'm going to give the Falcons credit where credit is due. They're 5-0, they're undefeated, and I do think the Falcons are, obviously the best team in the NFC right now, and there's no slouch being the second best team in the NFL right now. So I'm not saying that just because I'm a Saints fan or a Falcon hater or anything, but I have to give the edge to Houston right now. And I totally agree with everything you said. I think Houston has a better defense. They're a little bit more of a complete team, a little bit of balance on offense as well. And I think the thing that impresses me about Houston is I'm very impressed with Gary Kubiak. And I think he's one of the better offensive play callers in the NFL. And I think he's been an underrated coach for a long time. That team has just slowly gotten better year after year since he's been in Houston. And I think the hire of Wade Phillips has been a great help to that ball club. They needed some help on the defensive end. He switched over to the 3-4 last year, got some better help at the cornerback position. They run misdirection plays better than any team in the league. If you watch them play. So definitely very impressed with Houston, but also very impressed with Atlanta too. So, but I'll just say I have to give Houston the slight edge as of right now, but definitely they are the two best teams in the NFL. And what will be interesting if both of those teams made it to the Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl is right here in New Orleans this coming in February, and New Orleans kind of sits right in between Atlanta and Houston, so I'm sure that'll be a very interesting crowd that will be bombarding New Orleans if both of those teams made it to the Super Bowl. And that's still a big if right now, so there's still a lot of football to be played, but that's just a thought. Moving on, you know, to the next topic here really quick. And, you know, we talked about the Houston Texans. Let's talk about the losing team from last night's game, the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Can the Jets be successful this season? And, I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of disarray in the organization. And what are your thoughts as far as the Jets moving forward this season? Can they be successful? Can they win a division? Can they make the playoffs?
You know, that's kind of a tough question, because whenever you look at the makeup and you talk about chemistry, and, you know, obviously the team already had problems before. You've heard us say this before on the show for those that have listened to us. And you kind of add Tebow, who definitely is a lightning rod. And I didn't think it's going to help Mark Sanchez, and I still don't think it's going to help Mark Sanchez. Now, obviously, losing Jarrell Revis. Before, if you said we had a strong enough defense to get us going, you'd be okay. But now you lose, you know, Jarrell Revis. Now this does give an opportunity for another player to step up, but then you lose a lot of your wide receivers. You lose Antonio Holmes. And it just keeps getting like there's like that snowball effect, too, and it seems like they're definitely snake-bitten this year. So right now, and I definitely give the Jets credit for hanging in versus the Texans last night, because that was not an easy game, and Sanchez did his thing, but obviously, and even, you know, for the last couple of minutes before they had an interception, they were still kind of in that game. But I don't think they're going to be successful. You're going to hear more calls for Tebow. That's going to cause more problems in the locker room, chemistry-wise, and I think, unfortunately, for the Jets, it's going to go all downhill from there. So it's going to be a tough season. It's going to be a learning season. And it's going to be a season that's going to see Rex Ryan definitely on the hot seat unless he makes a dramatic turnaround. So that's my thoughts, Rob. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I think we're mostly on the same page here on this topic. And, you know, I was watching a good bit of that game last night, and one thing that was very discouraging, if you're a Jets fan here, is, you know, the Jets were rotating quarterbacks on one series. I mean, what NFL team does that? Kind of reminded me of LSU last year, rotating Jared Lee and Jordan Jefferson on the same drive. I mean, what NFL team does that? And, I mean, that has to kind of mess up the flow of the game for Mark Sanchez. And I really think they have really hurt his development. And I still believe that Mark Sanchez, if he gets with a quarterback guru kind of coach, I believe, and I think he's going to be better on his next gig than he is on this gig with the Jets. If he gets with a coach like a Gary Kubiak, a Mike Shanahan, a Sean Payton, if he gets with any of those kind of coaches down the road, you're going to see a better quarterback out of Mark Sanchez. The Jets have totally mishandled his development. And I think, you know, bringing in a guy like Tebow is really hurt. And they just don't have the right quarterback coach in there for him. I still think this guy can be a solid, very good NFL quarterback with the right coaching. And I just don't think he's just been put in the right situation. But I think the Jets season is only going to get worse. I definitely don't see them making the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination. And it wouldn't surprise me to see a team like Miami even surpass them in the standings this year. Miami's playing really hard, really competitive football. Buffalo's so wishy-washy, still hard to read that team right now. But it wouldn't surprise me if a team like Miami even surpasses the Jets. I mean, that team is just in disarray right now. No Jarrell Revis as well. So definitely I don't see them having a successful season. And depending on what their record is, you can definitely make a case that Rex Ryan may get fired. But we'll wait and see how that goes this offseason here. Moving on to our next topic here in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs fans. Wow, you almost had to make you almost had to think that, you know, you were watching the game in Philadelphia by seeing the fans booing Matt Castle after getting a concussion. They wanted him off the field, and Brady Quinn came in the game. They started cheering. what do you have to say about the Kansas City Chiefs fans for booing an injured player, one of their own players, at that?
I think that's kind of one of the things, like one of the players said that he's discussed it with the organization, and I kind of definitely just, you know, echo that sentiment. That's not a situation where you want to be in. I don't care how bad, you know, a player is playing. You don't boo somebody getting injured. You know, it's just one of the situations where you're kind of crossing the line. I mean, I know Philadelphia has kind of the reputation of the stigma of kind of doing that booing Santa Claus and throwing snowballs at players and batteries and whatnot too. And, you know, like I said, Kansas City, and I know a lot of people from Kansas City, they're great people. So, I mean, I don't know if they're just frustrated, obviously, with the situation. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's terrible. And hopefully, like you said, I still have to hear a lot of the things about that. That's actually true, but very disappointed in those fans that that's kind of the case.
Yes, that's always very discouraging to see when you have fans booing or cheering when somebody gets hurt. And that's not the, you know, I think so many times we take this thing, you know, too seriously of what it is.
Game.
It's a game.
Yeah.
You know, it's entertainment. It's fun. Hey, don't talk about the man's mama. Don't boo him when he's hurt. Don't cheer him when he's hurt. You know, it's not that serious. You don't have to curse anybody out. And so it is very disappointing to see their fan base, you know, treat one of their own actually like that. You know, I know a lot of teams will boo the opposing team, but that's more so done in fun. You know, when a visiting team comes running on the field, the fans boo. But that's more so in fun, not necessarily in the ill intent. But to boo one of your own players when they get hurt, that's very disgraceful, and that's a bad taste. And, you know, I think a lot of times as fans, we also have to have etiquette, you know, and a right approach when we're watching these games as well. Hopefully the Kansas City Chiefs will do something to make Matt Castle feel better after the way he was treated on last weekend. Moving on to the next topic here, we got the Washington Redskins, you know, of course, coming off a loss to the Atlanta Falcons this past weekend. RG3 was knocked out of the game. The Redskins are very optimistic on RG3 coming to play this Sunday against the Vikings. I think with this new concussion rule, you'd like to see these guys take at least a week off after coming off a concussion. So did the Falcons have a bounty on RG3 this past weekend?
Oh, I knew that was going to come out, man. I had a feeling something like that. We'll talk about the Saints and Sean Payton being there and the Saints winning too, but that's a whole other topic altogether too. But there's no bounty on Robert Griffin III. Actually, we've talked about it before. You want the best players to be there to play. And obviously, I don't think the hit was malicious by any means. It was a nice, clean, hard hit. You know, it's one of those things where RG3 definitely has to take care of himself. And, you know, like you said, it's one of those situations where I want to see the guy play, you know, because I'm a fan of him no matter what. So, like you said, hopefully he'll play. I do think that he'll learn his lesson, and that's all you can ask for. Because, like I said, even before, I know he had some comments earlier about the Rams player. So, it's big boy league. Let's step it up. And RG3, you know, like I said, no ill intents were made for the hit. Just like I said, something for him to learn from moving forward.
Obviously, I was being facetious there with that comment. Not definitely being very facetious with that comment. But no, I'm not by any means implying that it was a bounty on RG3. But I was just being facetious there. But yes, the RG3 definitely has to learn. You know, as a quarterback, you got to slide, get down, don't take those kind of hits. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, as a great athlete, you think you can do it all. But you got to live to see another day. And, you know, that's one of the things that impresses me a lot about Geno Smith, the quarterback of West Virginia, not to go into the college level here real quick. But he's a pocket passer, but he runs really well. And when he does run, he slides. And you don't see a lot of, you know, true running quarterbacks learning that just yet. I mean, Michael Vick is in his 30s, and he still struggles with sliding. And so hopefully as a young player, RG3 still has time to develop that, because, you know, what you want, you can't help your team if you're on the sideline. So most quarterbacks are not designed to take those kind of hits. So, I mean, I'm hopeful that he'll be playing this Sunday, but I hope they're being cautious with his return, and hopefully they're not rushing him back too soon. Moving on, we're still talking NFL football here. Ron Rivera thinks Cam Newton is pressing and trying to do too much. What are your comments in regards to that? Cam Newton, does he need to settle down, rely on his teammates, and relax a little bit? What do you think about those comments Ron Rivera made about Cam Newton?
Yeah, I definitely agree. He's kind of trying to put a lot of pressure on himself. And you know that statement, be quick but don't hurry. But real quick, though, Rob, don't forget about the number for those who want to call us and stuff like that as well. I want to check in and kind of get their thoughts as far as everything as well. The number to call in, 424-243-9519. Don't forget to show us some love as well. But as mentioned, yeah, he's pressing. And, you know, I didn't really expect him to have a sophomore slump like he's having. But, you know, that's definitely one of the situations. A lot of teams are getting a lot of film on him now, kind of knowing his tendencies. And he's a big guy, so he's definitely a lot more of a harder guy to bring down versus a RG3. So he definitely has a unique skill set. But I noticed that somebody said in comparison, RG3 is a little bit more accurate right now. So, you know, you get a nod to him in that as far as the growth process. But, you know, Cam, you got to slow down and, you know, make your right throws, make your reads. And, keep advancing on what you did last year.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's discouraging about his performance so far is his body language. His body language and and some of the attitude that's showing up, you know, on the sidelines and things of that nature. So I think what you're seeing right now is a lack of maturity as well. And so you like to see him grow up, become a real leader of that ball club, and, you know, and take that team on his back. And so I think that's one of the things that that he's going to have to improve in his leadership abilities. You know, there's no question about his talent. And, you know, one of the, you know, huge physical specimen to play the quarterback position. He's got all the ability in the world. And you like to see him take that team, take the bull by the horn and be a leader in that ball club and continue to grow and stop the childishness. And, you know, and just play within himself and not try to do a whole lot. So I think there's still a development process there. And, you know, we'll have to see if, you know, if he continues to mature as a quarterback, as an NFL-level quarterback as well. And moving right along here, the NFL here, are the Green Bay Packers in trouble? The Packers are 2-3 starting out this season, and, you know, you can make a case that they have a win that could go either way and a loss that could have went either way. But they are 2-3, and as Bill Parcells would say, you are what your record says you are. So are the Packers in trouble? This Sunday night, they're going to road to Houston, who is also undefeated. So they got a big road game this Sunday. Is this Green Bay team in trouble? You see Minnesota, you see the Chicago Bears, both off to some dynamic starts, both 4-1 so far this season, and playing extremely good football. Both the Vikings and Bears might, I mean, other than Houston, those two teams look like they're playing the best defense in the NFL right now. You know, you can throw the 49ers in that mix as well. But Minnesota and Chicago, very impressive. Are the Packers in trouble?
I mean, this is a tough question. I don't think they are. I think they've had a couple of bad breaks. And everything on the Super Bowl, you had a lot of injuries to a lot of the key players, too. So, you know, obviously losing Cedric Benson hurt. They haven't had Greg Jennings. He's been dealing with that groin injury. And, you know, they just had a couple of bad breaks, obviously, with the Seattle game. Everyone remembers that. So, you know, they could be actually have a little better record. So I know Aaron Rodgers is not having that year that everyone expected, and they just need to go back to playing Packer football. So Clay Matthews is still a disruptive player. He's still doing his thing. You know, I'm sure they'll right the ship. I don't know if they're going to right the ship this Sunday versus Houston, so that's going to be a big, big game. But I don't think they're in as much trouble as, say, the New York Jets, but I think they're on the cusp.
Yeah, well, I'm going to slightly disagree here. I'm going to say that Green Bay is in a little bit of a trouble, and here's a couple of reasons why. No running game. They're really struggling running the football. They're really hurting with the offensive line, and both as far as running as well as pass protection. And their defense is not as good as it was last year or even the year they won the Super Bowl. And so I think this is a team, and with the way Minnesota and Chicago is playing, you can easily make a case that those two teams are the leaders to win that division here in the NFC North. I think Green Bay is in trouble, and this team could very easily not make the playoffs. I think they're a team that you're always going to be scared of because of Aaron Rodgers and his abilities. You know, they have quick strike ability offense, but there's no balance. They can't run the football. And so this is a team that I think is in a little bit of trouble. And I think this team could easily, I mean, at best, I think this team would be 9-7, but this team could easily be 8-8, 7-9.
If you really
look at their, I mean, if they lose this weekend, which I think they will, they'll be 2-4. And so you're looking at a team, in my opinion, at best, will be 9-7. I could be wrong. We'll have to wait and see how Mike McCarthy has got his work cut out as far as getting this team back on track here. And so
I'm
I would
a, I'm
be.
I'm a Packers fan. Hit up Robert at Robert Ford at 12th Man Sports. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Yes, bring me the heat. Yeah, I can handle it. So if they want to send me the heat, bring it. Post it on our Facebook page. Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Send Robert all the heat. Send me the heat. Send me the heat. We got a few more minutes to go, and before we wrap it up, and real quick before we end the live portion of our show, we're going to talk about the magnitude of Drew Brees breaking Johnny United's record on Sunday night. 48 straight games with a touchdown pass. Which makes this record so unique here is back in 2007, I remember watching the show on the NFL Network, Records That Won't Be Ever Broken in the NFL, and this was one of those records. And now 5 years later, Drew Brees breaks Johnny United's records, and I think Tom Brady's at 37 straight games now as well, so he may even pass Johnny United here later on the season. And so I think, you know, congrats to Drew Brees as far as moving forward and breaking this record. I don't know if you want to give any comments on that here before we wrap up the live show as well.
Yeah, obviously Drew Brees is a class act. Even though being a Falcons fan, I definitely have to give credit where credit is due. He had a great season whenever he broke the passing record as well. So, you know, nothing but a guy that deserves that. And like I said, just one of those things, like you said, you didn't think it would actually be broken, and yet still he's done that. So just a shout-out to him, and like I said, it's just a great player, definitely.
Yes. Well, we're going to wrap up the live portion of our show. We still have some college football. We're going to be talking on our OT portion of the show. So once again, those of you all who may be sitting at your desk with nothing to do tomorrow on your lunch break, go ahead and click on blogtalkradio.com/12thmansports. You can listen to the OT portion, get our college football predictions. We got more NFL, and we have about 90 seconds here left in the show here. So make sure you all tune in to our OT portion on tomorrow, get our college football predictions. But meanwhile, join us next Tuesday night. We're going to be talking more NFL football, more college football. We're going to be more into the NBA preseason and more into the baseball playoffs here as well. So we got a lot to cover. Join us next Tuesday, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And for our good friends in Hawaii, that's 5 p.m. And I understand we have some listeners in Germany as well, so that's incredible. I don't know exactly what time it is in Germany. I promise to have that for you all on next week. Any closing comments, Andre?
Yeah, actually, Tokyo, shout-out to Mario listening to us in Tokyo. It's like 12:29 in Tokyo over there, and it's like 5 in the morning in Amsterdam or Germany. So, yeah, it's a lot of things going on, too. Do we have some time for some quick fantasy shout-outs? We're at the in the OT portion, sir.
Well, we'll handle that in the OT portion, but congratulations to our survival football winners. You all know who they are, and crazy crew and fantasy football, and Robert Ford and College Pick'em. But we'll talk a little bit about fantasy basketball in our OT portion, so you all don't want to miss that. And we're wrapping up Good night, world.
Good night, people. Round four. Are we officially in the OT portion?
We are officially in the OT portion of the 12th man talking sports for the 12th man.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
We still have a little bit more of NFL to handle here.
Yeah. Yep.
And we got a couple of predictions here for some NFL big games this weekend. And just a couple of games here we're going to talk about here. We got the Patriots at the Seahawks and the Giants at the 49ers. These are the only two games in the NFL this weekend where both teams have winning records. So first off, we're going to go with the Patriots at Seahawks. Both teams are 3-2. Seattle's a team that's been really impressive with defense this year, rushing the quarterback. They have been doing extremely well. Got to give Pete Carroll a lot of credit for getting some personnel in there. And but this is a game where I like New England to go on the road and pull off this victory. I think they're kind of getting hot right now. Brady's getting hot. Their offense is getting hot. Stephen Ridley is running the rock extremely well. And this is a team that's become a balanced attack on offense. I like New England to go up to the other 12th man and go up there and get a win this weekend.
Love it. We got to give a shout-out to our counterparts out there for sure. But, yeah, I agree with you. Seattle does have a great defense, but they got a rookie quarterback, Russell Wilson, so you know he's going to make some mistakes against that Bill Belichick defense. If Bill Belichick can confuse a Peyton Manning, he most certainly can confuse a Russell Wilson. I mean, I think the defense will definitely keep them in the game for a little while, and I think they'll start to pull away. It's kind of similar to what the Green Bay did whenever they played against Seattle. So there won't be any mistakes in the replacement refs, and I think the Patriots will definitely handle business.
Yes, and last but not least, out of our two big NFL games this weekend, the Giants at the 49ers, the 3-2 Giants at the 4-1 49ers. 49ers coming off a shellacking of the Buffalo Bills, 45-3. And the Giants went into San Fran last year in the NFC Championship game and pulled off a win. I don't see that happening this weekend. The 49ers is playing as good as anybody in the NFL right now. And I like the 49ers to take care of business at home.
Yeah, definitely. For me to be in this household, I have to pick the 49ers for sure. And even as you know, last year, the 49ers are definitely without their standout middle linebacker, Patrick Willis. And just a weird thing, I just want to tell you that today is actually, I don't know why it's popped in my head, today is actually Mike Singletary's birthday. So happy birthday to him. Even though you asked him if you wanted to
eat it. I want Withers.
So he said, I don't want cake, can't eat it, too fat. Anyway. but yeah, like I said, I think the 49ers will pull this out. They were without they've been kind of circling this game on the calendar. And you know, even though it's kind of not for all the marbles like it was last year, the championship game, but they're gonna be ready to play for sure.
Yeah, should be very interesting. I think it's the best game of the weekend, most interesting game of the weekend in the NFL. But I definitely like the 49ers and where they're playing. Well, we did do the fantasy shout-outs briefly in our live portion. We're just going to do it again. We're going to spend a quick few minutes here and really quick on the Talking Sports 12th Man Fantasy League. I'm going to give a quick shout-out to Crazy Crew Wayne. He still has the overall best record and had the best win this past weekend, too, and the largest margin of victory over Unibrow will be a bus. Although Unibrow will not be a bust. 22 points, 9 rebounds tonight for the Hornets. Hornets 2-0 in the preseason. He's gonna prove my man Roger wrong. He will not be a bust. I know it's just preseason, but, you know.
Hold on now. And, Rob, do you think that so Wayne had the best score? I thought I had a pretty good score, too, man.
You got a decent score, but he had the largest margin of victory.
Okay. All right.
Stop trying to toot your own horn all the time, man.
I'm just keeping it real.
I'm trying to toot your own horn all the time, man.
I'm trying to represent for 12th man. I'm doing this stuff, man. We're living our league, man.
And, of course, in survival football, we had a three-way champion. We never thought this would happen. But congratulations to my co-host Andre Peterson, Chrissy Hart,
woo-hoo!
and Emmanuel Meyer in the three-way tie for the Survivor League title. I think next year we're going to have to do this a little bit differently. I think we're going to have three strikes instead of two. And you never would have thought this would be over after week five. So, next year we'll do it a little bit different. We just want to thank all of you for playing and participating and being a part of the 12-man sports family. And we certainly look forward to you all competing in Survivor Football next year. We're still competing in College Pick'em, and I've extended my lead here in first place. I think I moved up to about a 7-point lead now in first place in College Football Pick'em. I plan to continue that and stretch that lead out even more. So hopefully that will be the case. And speaking of college football, let's kind of transition right into it. And we got some little bit of a bad news here. You know, a couple of weeks ago on our show, we talked about Sean Mannion, quarterback for Oregon State. He's only a sophomore. This kid looks like he's got big-time pro potential and really was coming on strong. Oregon State has moved up to number 10 in the rankings, and he's a big part of that. Suffers a major injury this past weekend, and he is out indefinitely and can very well be out for the season. So this could really hurt Oregon State, and not sure what their backup quarterback is like, but you can only think that this team is going to go a little bit down from this point forward. I don't know if you have any comments in regards to that.
Yeah, it's pretty sad about this guy, too. Like you said, he allowed, obviously, to be like the fourth-ranked, I think, offensive team in the Pac-12, so that was a big loss. For, like, the finger average of, like, 305 yards in passing. I mean, guy that was kind of doing his thing too, so I want to say there's going to be a junior guy that's going to take his place. I didn't get his name at this juncture too, so I apologize, guys, but this is definitely a big blow for Oregon State, but like you said, I think in the interim it'll allow them to kind of like focus on next year, and I know you don't want to hear the next year talk too, but you know, obviously they'll to give some time to kind of, like I said, get that team chemistry and move on for next year too. So it's kind of a tough blow for them for sure.
And I think one of the things that Oregon State can hang their hat on a little bit is they're also playing great defense. So they're going to have to become more of a ball control kind of offensive team and see if they can rely on their defense. But, you know, maybe at best be the third or fourth team in the Pac-12 this year. You know, you still have USC and Oregon there at the top. And Stanford's still hanging around as well. So we'll kind of see where Oregon State's going to fit in without Sean Mannion. Moving on to college football, one of the topics we want to talk about here real quickly is who is college football's most underrated team, in your opinion?
Good question. And granted, like I said, I think this is interesting because we had a lot of debate. At first, I was going to go with West Virginia, but, you know, you can't say that anymore, right? Because of the
No, they're not underrated.
I know they're not. I'm just saying I was just impressed with Geno Smith. I think you may have to go with, Mississippi State, the Bulldogs. I think they've been surprisingly doing well under Dan Mullen. He's been kind of getting turned around, getting a lot of players. That used to be one of the teams that used to be kind of a one of the stepping stone teams, but now they're actually playing extremely well. You got like Tyler Russell kind of doing his thing. They got I think you got another guy named Chad Bumpkis or whatever his name is doing his little thing. So you got like a playmaker there. So you got to be very impressed with what they're doing as well. So I'm going to say Mississippi State.
Wow, you're reading my mind there. That's definitely the team that I had in mind as well. The thing I've been impressed with Mississippi State, they haven't been able to throw the football in years past. And this year it seems like they're able to throw the football down the field. They've added another element to their offensive game. And I think they probably should be ranked a little bit higher than where they are. I think they're right now at number 19. So I think they should be ranked a little bit higher. But there's still a lot of football to be played. They're still still have a meet of their schedule to go. They're undefeated so far. So we'll really see how good they are here in the coming weeks. I'm going to throw out another team that's really been underrated is Louisiana Tech and out of the WAC conference. They're ranked number 23rd right now. They're undefeated. Sonny Dykes has got an explosive offense going there, putting up a lot of points. They got a big test this weekend. Playing in Shreveport against Texas A&M. I think we'll really get to see how good Louisiana Tech is. this weekend, and we're going to predict that game here in just a few minutes, and that can kind of transition us right into college football's big games this weekend. And real quickly, we got about 5 minutes to go on the show. We're going to kind of cover these games really quickly on our predictions. Number 15, Texas versus number 13, Oklahoma in Dallas. Who you got?
The Red River rivalry, 106 years in the making. I'm going to go with number 15, Texas in this game.
I'm going to go with Texas as well. I'm kind of with you now with Oklahoma Sooners. Bob Stoops just can't win the big one. I'm going to go with Texas. Even Oklahoma typically wins this game, I'm going to go with Texas as well. Number 17, Stanford at number 7, Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame is an 8.5 favorite. They are amazing playing defense, sir. This is a tough game to pick. I'm going to kind of lean towards Notre Dame just because they're at home. But like I said, I don't think it's going to be an easy game for Stanford. Can they come in there and whip the USC? This is going to be a great, great game to watch. I'm going to Notre Dame only because of the home field advantage.
Yes, I'm going to go with Brian Kelly and Notre Dame as well. They're at home. They're playing great defense. Brian Kelly's done a tremendous job building that defense there in Notre Dame. I like the Fighting Irish here. Number 3, South Carolina at number 9, LSU.
South Carolina did their business against Georgia with 35-7 shellacking. LSU is a 2.5-point favorite. Now, Rob, I know this is going to be tough. You've been an LSU guy. We're going to keep it real. I'm kind of leaning towards South Carolina only because I think Zach Mecklenburg may make some mistakes. I think their defense is kind of strong. It is kind of tough because you're at LSU. Guys play well at home at night. But I'm just thinking that somewhere, somehow, it's just going to be tough for them to pull it out. I think the defense is, and hopefully they don't think that's a trap game, what happened last week. But that's one reason why I'm kind of sorry about picking South Carolina this game. So, curious to hear.
Yes, I was actually strongly leaning toward picking South Carolina in this game, but I think I've had a change of heart. I'm going to go with LSU. LSU just does not lose in Tiger Stadium at night. And another thing, you know, LSU's defense will keep them in the game. South Carolina won't be able to score 35 points against this LSU defense. If LSU can just muster enough offense, they'll find a way to win this game. I say South Carolina come in this game a little overconfident of what they did to Georgia last week. And I think LSU squeaks by them, and I mean squeaks by them. I mean, I'm talking a 2-3-point victory over South Carolina this weekend. Really quickly, we're about to wrap up the show. One last game, Texas A&M, number 22, at number 23, Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, we were just talking about them. Unfortunately, they're 0-10, actually 0-9. If you think one of those games, they had some ineligible players. They're 0-9 versus Texas A&M. They are an 8-point favorite, and I'm definitely going to think they're going to keep that streak going. Not to say that Louisiana Tech is not a good team, but I just think that Texas A&M has a little bit more playmakers, a little bit more talent. I think they're going to definitely eke it out, and they're going to keep that streak alive.
Yes, you know, as much as I would like to see Louisiana Tech win this game, I like Texas A&M as well. I think they have a little bit more talent in the trenches, although Louisiana Tech has the quarterback, has the players on the perimeter. I think the trenches is where they're going to lose this ball game, and I think Texas A&M wins this game in Shreveport. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show at this point here. We got a couple of minutes to go. Just want to kind of get you all ready for next week. Join us next Tuesday night, once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. for those of you all in Hawaii. We really hope you all enjoy the show. Continue to stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We got lots of great information. If anybody interested in fantasy basketball, ID number 48484, password BALLERS, that's on Yahoo Sports. Sign up. I believe we have a few people that's already on. So let's get ready for some fantasy basketball. Draft will be Monday, October 30th. Anything you want to close with, Andre?
Thank you, sir. Did a great job of running points, holding down the fort as I was on the road. So give a shout out to you, and great show.
Good night, world. Join us next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
You guys, same channel. Don't forget to, like I said, like us on Facebook. Definitely, we'd love to hear your feedback. So give us some calls. You got the number for those that want to write it in, that are listening in the OT portion. It's 424-243-9519. Robert does a great job of posting and updating folks. We'll talk about some stuff. I know we didn't mention Georgia Tech and firing the algo, but we'll talk about that, your thought process, and just kind of moving on as far as how it's going to impact and moving on too. So we're here. Same time, same channel. Good night, people.
Good night, America.